You're listening to For the Show We Go Baseball Podcast.
What was it like, I guess, the biggest difference between going from double A to triple A, as in regards to, like, how are hitters different? How is their approaches different? I guess, what have you noticed so far in your short time here?
It's hard to tell right now. Obviously, they're older guys, more experienced guys. So I think their approach, they're sticking to their approach, you know, frequently and more consistently. But I guess the biggest thing I would say is just the quality of hitters. I mean, throughout the lineup, you know, it has gotten better from the double A to triple A level. And obviously, more mistake pitches will leave the ballpark the higher you go up. So that's the one thing I've kind of noticed through the minor leagues is from low A to high A, you know, to high A to double A to double A to triple A, each level. You only got so many mistake pitches before they start doing some damage, and I think that's the biggest thing.
And what kind of things have you taken, obviously coming up here, you're sharing a bullpen now with guys that have seen major league time, that have also been, they were here last year, like Guerrero came up last year at the end of the year. You have some guys that have a little experience here and even a couple guys in the majors. So I guess, have you gotten to pick brains at all, or how have you gone about that?
Yeah. I mean, frequent conversations in the bullpen. Just one guy that comes to mind is Jason. Just me and him bouncing off ideas, me just kind of letting him talk, because I know he's had some big league experience, and kind of just what his kind of mental approach to the game is, especially when he's on the mound, you know, kind of figuring out what works best for you individually on the mound, and, you know, how to kind of sequence your pitches off of each other. And that's stuff that I've kind of haven't really been thinking about and kind of put into my, you know, plan of action when I'm on the mound. And hearing that, you know, makes me want to, you know, learn more, you know, do more, in a sense of, you know, becoming of, you know, overall polished pitcher. So I would say it's been very helpful, you know, and just kind of the experience with these older guys, you know, listening to them talk and their experiences, you know, have been helpful for sure.
And what have you taken away from Noah Junis? I know he comes from a little different background. He came over from Premier in St. Louis. So I guess what have been your takeaways of working with Junis so far?
Oh, it's been fun. When you're on the mound and you know you're throwing some good stuff on there, you know, he's kind of hyping you up, and that kind of just subconsciously, you know, gives you that extra bit of confidence, you know, especially when you're, you know, doing your practice bullpens and stuff like that, and, you know, getting feedback from him too with the analytics side, and clearly he knows what he's talking about too, and that also, you know, helps you with that confidence of, you know, when it's time to get between the white lines, kind of just be free out there and, you know, do what you do best. So
I got a couple more questions for you before. Yep. I let you go. I wanted to talk to you because I actually had to double check this. You were undrafted in 2020. Obviously, the draft was a little odd that year because of COVID, only right. Five rounds. So I don't really, I mean, it's weird to call somebody undrafted in 2020 just because there was so few rounds. But has that been like maybe just a chip on your shoulder a little bit coming through the system of like, hey, I'm an undrafted guy and I'm one step away from the pros?
For sure. It's a big chip on my shoulder. Knowing that, you know, I was an undrafted free agent, there's a lot of guys that have priority over me, and that's just the nature of the beast, and that's just how life is. And the quicker I understood that, the quicker I could, you know, stop pressing on myself and stop, you know, trying to overdo things and overthink things. You know, I just have to take advantage of every opportunity I get, and, you know, results will speak for themselves. I mean, yeah, there's definitely a big chip on my shoulder, and I'm, you know, to be honest, I'm anything that's in my path, I'm trying to kill. So that's kind of the mindset, and I feel like that's kind of the Boston mindset as well, like that gritty, that chip on the shoulder mentality. And I think past couple of years, like, I think Boston natives have kind of seen like that kind of maneuver in a different way, and like, I think we kind of need to bounce back to that mindset.
Yeah, no, that has said it pretty well. So my last question here to finish it off. So I did an off-season podcast a little bit where I had quite a few of these guys from the system on and everything. I don't know. I know I probably asked you one point, but I don't remember. I tried to ask as many guys as I could. I just ran out of time. But there was a question that always came up, and it's been a big debate, especially with Shug and a few other guys. But you're a Georgia guy, so I have a lot of faith in you right here. If you had to pick a fried chicken sandwich fast food place, and there was all of them were available to you, you just had to pick one, where are you driving? I got faith in you. You're going to give me the right answer.
I mean, I got to go with Zaxby's. I got to go with Zaxby's.
I don't think you understand. I'm the biggest Zaxby's guy.
Yeah.
And I asked every single guy that came on my podcast. It was probably 70-plus guys around the system and the league and all that. And I only got, like, three Zaxby's. It was Blaze Jordan, Alex Pinellas, and Josh Lester from Georgia. So I'm glad to see there's another one in the system.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Is there a reasoning behind it? Like, I mean, I tried to, like, argue with these guys, but they don't ever...
Well, I never grew up around, like, Cane's. And Chick-fil-A is Chick-fil-A. But Zaxby's, the fries, I think it was... If you get the right fries and it's cooked right and the season's there, I think it's some of the best fries that's out there.
I agree, man.